And he's got the open running back, Blue, who took advantage of DeMario Davis in pass coverage. 21-yard touchdown pass. First and 10. And they're going after the new cornerback, and they've got Hopkins. Rich, you called it. They beat Marcus Williams, taking the place of the injured Darrell Revis. Fourth and 5, Fitzpatrick. And intercepted, picked off by Pleasant. Intended for Smith. With Powell in the backfield. Oh, it's picked off. Grabbed by Andre Hell. And there he goes down the side. Pushed out of bounds by Giacomini. It's the second interception thrown by Fitzpatrick. He takes it to the 14. The Jets are out of timeouts. Houston's got the ball and the lead.
We're practicing hard. Like, that's why we're in the position we're in. Okay? And when you're in this position, like I told you last night, every game, we got to remember that. And every week, every day, we got to remember that. Okay? So we got to keep this thing going. All right? Now, last week, I told you, because we were on the road, you could wear your sweats home. You know what it is this week? See you Wednesday!
So, don't look now, but your Texans are 5-5. Cue the TJH should start the quarterback, stay the starting quarterback bid in 3, 2, 1. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, John Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-ESPN. And it's a Monday, and you guys will either be in a great mood or a told-you-so mood. I'm not sure, but let's just have some fun with it.
You know, what are the odds on Monday that my headphones got stolen out of here while we were gone?
%1,000. Actually,
%1,000.
Technically, isn't this a what are the odds Monday? Because it's really like our Wednesday because we're not doing a show Thursday or Friday.
Okay, we'll call it Wednesday then.
Yeah, if you want to put odds on stuff, go ahead. We'll just do that all week.
Man,
because what the hell?
I got to figure something out. We got to get like a... maybe like some lockers in here or something.
We used to have lockers at the old place.
Yeah, what's so hard about that?
I don't know. I think we should...
Can you make a request, Jong? I mean, go talk to someone higher up about maybe getting us a few lockers in here.
We can go. I can go pick some up at a garage sale for $5 and put them in here. Would anybody complain about that?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay. But I will say this. If I only get, say, 5 lockers, 3 of them go to us. If I bring them in here.
Yeah. Sorry, other people.
Yeah.
You know, it's just... it's always something, and there's nowhere for us to keep stuff around here. I used to have a before those desks out there were assigned, like before the program director had one of those desks out there, I used to have one. A drawer in that desk was mine, and I had a key for it and everything. And now Jong's there, and I don't want to take up a drawer in his desk, so I've got no place to put my stuff. But I feel like our studio should be a safe zone, you know, where I can leave a pair of headphones. Oddly enough, the last time we did a show in here, someone had stolen the adapter off of my headphones. And I was like, come on, guys, what do we do? But that's happened countless times.
Right, right.
I don't know how many of those little quarter-inch adapters I've burned
through. And I've always kept a couple extras just in case you need them for that reason.
They always go missing because some people around here need them, and I guess paying the $3 or whatever it is a super big inconvenience for someone. Or they could just, you know, borrow it and bring it back would be fine too. I wouldn't even care. But this time they said, well, let's just take the whole headset. Let's take his headphones. So he
and can I say, if they were Glenn Davis's headphones, which are Beats by Dre and really nice, I could see stealing them.
Yeah.
But yours, I mean, you intentionally keep them kind of crappy so people won't mess with them.
because I have good headphones that I don't bring in here because I know what's going to happen to them.
ATX wants to know, does Janice in accounting work there? Hashtag doesn't give a bleep.
Doesn't give a bleep.
Yep. But that's well, we've been gone a while. Somebody obviously just thought.
Well, yeah. I mean, 5 days, they must have thought that we didn't work here anymore. Yeah. And they can just take our stuff.
That kind of sucks.
Kind of.
Well, whoever did it, karma will get you.
I hate you. back from Vegas?
Yes, barely.
Barely?
I barely made it back, yes.
Yeah, you were on fire on Saturday. Last I saw you, we were imbibing a little bit in Vegas. And
winning another poker tournament.
Yep, playing very well. And then the hour was late, and you said, you know what, I've got an early flight. And you took off. Then, next I hear from you is on Twitter, and you're not happy with United Airlines.
I am not. And
you guys still haven't made up?
No, but...
Okay, tell me exactly what went wrong.
Well, several things went wrong. First off, they gave my seat away because I was there 29 minutes before the flight left. And first they told me the flight had been canceled, which was an outright lie. Then they told me, no, we gave your seat away. Then they said, okay, that's fine. And that's why I always get the early flight because, hey, you miss it, get on the next one, right?
Get on the next one, right.
So you're first standby for the next flight. Well, then I get up there, and there's five names in front of me. I go, wait a minute, I thought I was first standby. It's like, well, we have other people and all this stuff.
So you're not the first standby, you're the fifth
first standby. Yeah, which I have no chance with that, right?
Right.
Next flight, same thing. Now we're getting into, all right, if I'm going to be fifth, tell me I'm fifth.
Okay.
And so after the third one, they promised me I was on the 3 o'clock flight, which is fine. You know, I'll sit there in the bar and watch UH lose to UConn. And that flight
That had to make your mood even better.
I've been having to talk down all my UH friends about this game. We'll get to that later. But, yeah, and now I'm tweeting out stuff at United.
Yeah.
And now they're responding, and then they start asking me for a direct message to explain what happened. And then they gave me the exact same BS that the woman at the gate said, which is, it's our policy to do this, this, and this. And so I probably made a couple of inappropriate jokes that I had to delete off of Twitter. There are certain words that I realize you should not use if you're making fun of an airline. But the real...
You didn't get arrested, did you?
No, God, no.
Okay.
I did get upgraded. But the real bleep you is that... There was a 5 o'clock flight that if they had put me first on standby on, I would have gotten on. But my 3 o'clock flight didn't arrive until 8. So I basically was there from 5:30 in the morning until my flight left at 8 o'clock. I got back here about, and I got back here a little after 12:30. And then
5:30, let me do some math here. 5:30 to 5:30 would be 12 hours. So
yeah, plus
write that down.
Carry the
plus 2.5 more hours to 8. That's 14 and a half hours you spent at the airport.
Yes. And now, to be fair, I slept the last four. Once I saw my flight wasn't getting there until then, I just curled up in a corner and went to sleep.
Okay.
But
were you alone?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I hung out with Dylan for a while.
So the Mighty One was there.
The Mighty One got on a flight before me, yes.
The Mighty One. John, you have the audio. The Mighty One talked about this experience today.
Yeah. The rumor has it that at the McCarran Airport in Las Vegas, had some time to kill.
It was a rumor. You know what, Barry? I heard about that rumor.
You heard about it, too?
Chris may or may not have been the recipient of one of my drunk texts from the Las Vegas airport.
Yeah, another one.
See, I haven't got one. I don't rank high enough get a drunk text from Dylan.
I was my flight was misscheduled, so I had a 4-hour layover, and Fred Fowler missed his flight. And I'm just going to say this. You drink with Fred Fowler. You best come correct. All right, you better come ready to play.
No, you got to believe.
Because let me tell you about that bill at the end of the 4 hours.
I'm sure
he's a Pro Bowl. He's an equal opportunity drinker.
He is not
left hand or right.
He is not the Vince Wilfork of drinking.
No,
I will tell you right now. Fred Fowler is the J.J. Watt of drinking, and I was but a mere Jonathan Joseph just trying to keep up and do my part.
I wouldn't even put him on Jonathan Joseph, poor guy.
Oh, what was he?
You know, well, you've been around me enough. If you try to sit down and slam with me.
Did he go, he went round for round?
Yes, he did. He went round for round. Cause okay. Because I had a really good weekend, so I had plenty of extra cash. So let's spend some money and have some fun, right, since we're stuck here. And then we got into a weird political discussion, which was fun.
Oh, God. I can't even imagine what that was like. But, okay. Now, did you pick up his bar tab?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I paid for everything.
What was the bar tab at the end of the session?
I've got the receipt in my pocket. I don't remember, but it was probably... Well, you know how expensive airplane drinks are.
Right.
It's probably about $1.80, maybe $200.
Okay. I was thinking maybe more than that.
No. Yeah, but yeah, the thing is...
How wasted was he? Like stumbling around the airport wasted?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, that's so great.
Now, to be fair, all of you have been there at some point where we start slamming and y'all try to keep up. You do better than most. Well, I've seen John do it, too. It can get ugly. I mean, it's not a... I am a professional. I admit it.
Well, let me tell you, and I saw you pretty lit at one point this weekend. You were not the most lit person I saw. Fred and I on, I guess this was Friday night.
Yeah.
This was probably around, I don't know, midnight, one,
yeah,
maybe. We're walking through Mandalay Bay, and we stop to use the restroom. And I take a urinal. Fred leaves one blank and takes the next urinal. That's pretty good etiquette when there's a lot of empty urinals. Well, a dude walks in and takes the urinal in between Fred and I. And he's doing like the sort of sway back and forth as he walks up to the urinal. I'm like, wow, this dude's pretty lit. And he does the lean your forearm on the flushing device of the urinal.
Never a good look.
And he, you know, he's pretty lit.
Yeah.
He's having a good time. Well, as I'm finishing up, I look down to take care of my zipper and get the shake, make sure I'm not bringing any along with me. And I look down and I see a puddle forming on the floor because the gentleman who took the urinal between us was so drunk, he forgot to undo his pants before urinating.
Shame.
So
yeah, that was
he was wearing light gray slacks and a dress shirt. So now his light gray slacks from the waist, and you know, this dude was drinking enough that there had to be gallons of liquid inside of him. The entire front of his pants, all the way down to his shoes, just covered in piss. And as soon as he walks out, of course he doesn't wash his hands. Not like
right.
I mean,
why, at that point, what difference
what's
does it
the
make?
Point, yeah, you know,
like you're covered in your own
urine. He takes a step back and he looks down and he's like, "Oh no!" Then he walks out, and about two steps out, falls face first onto the floor. His friends pick him up. He's bleeding now from the face where his face hit the floor. His friends like smell their hands and give the, "Ugh, what happened?" And that's right around the time security came and grabbed the guy and hauled him off. That was the drunkest guy I saw in Vegas this weekend.
I would say
forgot to take down his pants before urinating guy. That's level 15 drunk. I'm glad Dylan wasn't at that point in the airport.
He was,
that's good.
No, he was just more animated than usual.
Okay. Was he talking about his gout?
You know what? We got to go to break. There's a lot more to get to. And don't worry. We'll get to the damn Texans. We got 3 hours.
Oh, yeah. We got
some Blitz
of time.
On ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. If you want to get in, we will take some sports calls. We got a whole show to do sports.
So
people always complain that, like, oh, you talk about the Texans in the first segment, and I don't get to hear them until later. Then we don't talk about Texans in the first segment. People complain.
Oh, I don't care what they think.
Yeah. Because drunk guys peeing themselves are funnier. I'm sorry.
My flight was also bumped back yesterday. I got an email the night before saying that the plane had changed, and I didn't. My new seat number wasn't available. That's a bad sign.
That's never a good sign.
So Mike Pearson and I get to the airport, and turns out that my flight has been basically the plane was changed to a smaller plane. So there were 20 less seats on this plane, and Mike Pearson and I were two of those 20. So they moved me. My flight, the flight I actually got on, was 30 minutes later than the flight that I was scheduled to be on.
It's not bad.
Not bad at all. And for my inconvenience, they gave me a $500 travel voucher. And then they provided free DirecTV on the flight for everyone because that flight had been delayed 15 or 20 minutes or something like that.
And that was the real problem with the weather in the Midwest was really bad. So most of the planes that we were flying were coming from Chicago and places right. And that's what happened to me. It was like a four-hour delay.
Well, it ended up working out pretty well. The only issue I had was I got moved to a middle seat, and I had a recliner in front of me.
Of course you did.
But I didn't let it happen. It was some little petite lady, and I just dug my knees in. I said, I've got to stand my ground. She did like the rock back and forth, like trying to push really hard. I wasn't having it. Every time she pushed, she popped right back forward. And finally, she like looked back, and I said, I'm not getting any shorter, lady. And she gave up. She gave up the fight right then and there.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good.
Nice.
So, and the only thing that was a problem was my luggage left on the original flight. But when I got to the airport, they said, just go to the United office. So I go to the United office. The United office was closed. And I was like, ugh. Luckily, I turn around. There's my bag sitting on the carousel going around and around all by itself.
Nice.
Scooped it up. Ended up working out pretty well. Got a 30-minute delay. I got free DirecTV and a $500 voucher. So it was a happy ending.
Well, as much as it sucked being at the airport for 14 and a half hours, I had such a great weekend. I mean, I made a ton of money while I was there. I yesterday went to Whatever Fest, got to go see our buddy Barry Laminack do his stand-up act.
How was he?
He was terrific. He
Good.
Really, and they made him go first, which is never, you know how hard that is.
Well, he's an undercard actor.
But he was great. And had a terrific time there. So I have no complaints other than there was no reason for me to be in the airport for 14
right.
hours. And so, United, you completely suck. And you know what?
They were good to me.
Well, whoever is on Twitter eventually was helpful. But everyone that worked at that airport, you guys suck. I will not fly you again unless I have no other choice, which means next time we go for HBO. Because
pretty much it.
There's no – I mean, that's the only airline they use, unfortunately. Right. That's the only time I ever need to use it because...
So you won't be booking with them is what you're saying.
No. In fact, next time I'm going to do my best to get on a Southwest flight there because I never have problems with Southwest or Air Canada or American or anything not called United except for Delta. That's a different one. Anyway, so it's good to be back, though, and had a blast. Got no real complaints other than it just gave me something to bitch about for 14 hours.
You did have something to bitch about.
Anyway, so let's talk about your Texans.
Well, listen, that was a really good showing. I mean, there's not really any other way to say it other than they were. It's a great win and a much needed win because obviously the Colts won a game yesterday that a lot of people thought they were going to lose and it looked early like they were going to.
And we'll get to the Falcons next hour, but that team is falling apart.
But you know the Texans proved me wrong. Specifically, DeAndre Hopkins had a fantastic game. He roasted Darrell Revis roasted him twice. Only caught the ball once, but it could have been worse.
TJ missed him on the first one.
Yeah,
there.
It could have been. I mean, that could have been a blowout. So, had four catches against Revis, one big one, which is the difference maker, and. You know what? They did a good job. They did a good job stopping the run. They did a good job running the football. Texans defense is continuing to get better. It's finally starting to look a little bit like what we thought it might.
And that's been the biggest difference for them. They're playing good defense now.
The secondary is still shaky at times.
Yeah.
There's been times this year when I'm like, man, Kevin Johnson might be a real find. And then there's times that I'm like, what is that guy even doing on the field right now? So he's had an up and down rookie season.
Yeah, more positives than negatives though, and I think the upside with him is really good. I think that's what you're seeing is what you see out of a lot of young cornerbacks. But we're not seeing him Kareem Jackson it and fall down every time.
Throwing a rookie on Brandon Marshall is not necessarily an easy task. No. So I should give him some slack there. But yeah, man, I thought that the T.J. Yates played well. You know, they finally were able to run the ball, which they haven't done all season. I mean, yeah, but it's been since like week two or three since they really had some success running the ball.
Even though the actual stats from running don't look that great because the end of the game they were not getting yards.
Right.
But when the game was on the line, they were moving
the ball, moving the chains.
And for the first time, they were creative on offense. I mean, using Cecil Shorts the way they did, both running the ball, throwing the ball, the entire drive of just Cecil Shorts. That's what I've been looking for from them offensively. Now, I know part of the reason you can't do that is because you're throwing your third quarterback out there for the second year in a row, so it's hard to go out there and, you know, when a guy's only had a week to practice to do a lot of that stuff, and certainly when he went into the Bengals game, we can't throw a bunch of things in there. But even when Hoyer's been in there, they haven't done it. And some of it's a product of getting so far behind that it doesn't really matter.
Right.
But I do think I like that I saw some creativity out of the offense. The defense was very, very good again. And now you're sitting at 5-5. Now I'll be the guy to throw a little water on it. I still think this ending schedule is going to be tough. And I am going to...
Yeah, listen, I
still think that loss at home to the Colts is the one that's going to come back and bite you in the ass at the end.
I don't think that we can, you know, necessarily say that they're suddenly a good team. I don't know if I'm willing to go that far. But, I mean, they look like they're not total crap.
They look competent.
And there were times earlier in the season where I got on here and said, this team is just total crap, and they really were. So I'll give credit where it's due, the season. And some of this credit goes to Bill O'Brien, who, you know, a lot of guys in his position would have the team kind of roll over and quit on him. And which
they did earlier this year.
I think that he found a way to get that team back, and they've really turned their whole season around and made it a competitive season. And good for them. Good for him. Good for them.
Well, this is two games in a row now they've won that we didn't expect them to win, right. Especially the one in Cincinnati. Now, once you win that, you think, okay, you know what? If they can play defense that well again.
You beat two teams that were in the mix as playoff teams.
Yep.
One certain playoff team in Cincinnati and a team that's in the wild card mix in the Jets. So, I mean, that's two good wins, the two best wins of the season the last 2 weeks.
And, you know, the thing is, you look at how the rest of the schedule plays out. We'll talk about it when we come back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. Yeah, you know, it's funny to me. Texans fans have more to call in about when their team loses.
Of course,
either they're better than we think they are, and that we're just a bunch of idiots for saying they're not any good, or they're really frustrated. Frobius says, cutting Mallett, benching Moore, starting Merciless, and getting Kush back on the juice. Solid decision to being made recently. Yeah. He said Xavier Suofilo not being a pile of bleep has helped too. Yeah, and Joe asked, coincidence they start to look better after Mallett was cut, and I kind of had a few conversations with people on email today about that, because one of the things I wrote this morning was how surprising it is that the defense is playing so much better in a relatively short time. And I thought they would get better as the season went on. And there's a lot of talk about inside the locker room and stuff like that. And certainly getting rid of Mallett probably changed the mindset in there a little bit, but it's so much more than that. There's just no way. You can't make that kind of a turnaround that quickly. And it was, I mean, it's been a compilation of moves. Benching Moore was one of them. Getting Charles James on the field more, where that guy just makes tackles and plays with passion. And the other thing I really like that they did, that it's going to get overlooked a little bit, on special teams, the fact that they brought James back, the fact they put Peters in there, those guys are just special teams guys. And they make tackles. And it's helped with field position, which helps the defense. And, you know, keep pinning teams back and make them have to go 80 yards against that defense when it's playing well, it's an advantage to your team. So it's a totally different group. I don't know, as I look at the rest of the schedule, I think realistically, and correct me if I'm wrong, to win the division, you got to go 4-2. One of those wins has to be at Indianapolis. I mean, it just because you lose that and you're essentially.
I mean, you're in a hole that you probably can't get out of.
Yeah, because
the tiebreaker's gone, and
so and when I look at it, okay, Saints at home, you should beat them, but I don't know which Saints team shows up, right. And maybe when they change defensive coordinators, you see.
Well, I mean, both those teams have been ridiculously inconsistent,
right?
So
and just because the Texans have been more consistent over the last 3 weeks, it doesn't mean that the Saints can't turn it around and get more consistent this week.
The thing that worries me about the Saints is they're coming off a bye,
and a coaching
and they've
change,
got new coaches,
and that. Usually buys you a good response the first week.
Right.
But I think, you know, then you go at Buffalo, and then you have the Patriots at home. Patriots is not as an absolute loss.
I think both of those teams are better than the Texans. I'm not going to say
you're saying the Patriots are better than the Texans?
Yeah, I'm not going to say
that's
that.
That's a pretty big limb you're going out on.
The Bills game is winnable. I'm not going to say It's not winnable, but it's going to be tough.
Well,
I mean, I think that's one that they're going to be underdogs in. I think the only they've got three games left that they're going to be underdogs in, and three that they'll be favored in. And you think
means they have to win one more than
they need to upset. And you think that upset probably needs to be at the Colts?
Yes, and I think somehow in Saints, Bills, Patriots, they have to go 1-2 and then sweep the last three. If they do that, they're in. And I think the going 1-2 bit. All right, either beat the Saints or you go on the road and upset the Bills. I think we're. No one in their right mind is going to give them any shot against the Patriots, nor should we.
Patriots would be nice if it was like week 17.
Yeah, when they're already
But that ain't happening.
But by if the Patriots are still undefeated, they're not taking
that
off the gas. So, yeah, somebody says Jags beat the Bills. Yeah, in London. It's a little different going up to Buffalo. I'm not going to say they can't do it. Because
it's possible.
If you can go into Cincinnati and win, you can probably go into Buffalo and win. But
Lions beat the Packers. I mean, you think the Texans would go to Green Bay and win a game right now? I don't.
It's never as simple as this team beat this team, and this team beat this team, so Team A is better than Team B. And, you know, it's just you got to think bigger than that, guys. But you go to the Colts, you have to win that game. It's that simple. You win that, I assume you're going to beat the Titans. You get the Jaguars at home. We're playing better football, but you should beat them at home. You win one of those three. Saints, Bills, Patriots, and sweep the other three. That's your
chance to make the playoffs.
Yes. Since it's not quite What Are the Odds Wednesday, but we're treating it as a What Are the Odds Wednesday, sort of.
I don't think that's impossible.
I don't think it's impossible either. If they keep,
I mean, I do
if
think
they keep playing at the level they're playing at.
You know what I always say about them playing at Indianapolis? Until they ever win a game there in the history of time, I'm not going to pick them to win there.
And see, I would say if it was ever going to happen, this would be – but no, it would have been the year they were good.
Right.
And Dan Orlovsky was playing quarterback.
But it didn't happen then. I don't know what can make it happen. And really, you know, the Colts, and we've always said the Colts are a team that, obviously a team that relies a lot on Andrew Luck when they're good. But when we go through lists of backup quarterbacks we wouldn't mind having, Matt Hasselbeck's always on our list, and he's got that team playing pretty well.
He does. What I wonder now is how long does this guy hold up at 40 years old?
And
because he hasn't had to play a ton, but now when you start adding game after game after game, and if it's closer to 6 weeks than two, which is what most people seem to think.
I heard today, mid-December, they're expecting Andrew Luck back. So, I mean, and mid-December would be around the time the Texans
go
play
there. At the Colts, yeah.
And I don't know if it would be a good thing to catch Andrew Luck coming back.
First game back might be better than playing Matt Hasselbeck, actually.
But if you catch Andrew Luck, and it's not like Andrew Luck's got to like suddenly figure out the offense again. Andrew Luck, he knows what's going on there.
Yeah.
But if he comes back fully healthy and right, which, I mean. But
those are significant enough injuries that you wonder about him being fully healthy.
No doubt.
Back. So.
No doubt. So, I mean, I don't know if there's a good time to catch Andrew Luck, but if it's his first week back, that's probably the best time to catch him. But
heck, every game this year would have been the best time to catch him the way he's played.
If
he plays like he did before he got hurt.
I'm assuming that he's going to be healthy when he comes back. And as you know, I've said all season long, he doesn't seem healthy.
You know what? I think it depends on how well Hasselbeck is playing. Because if he keeps playing well, you're not going to rush him. You're going to give him an extra week if you need to. But if he's not and you lose a couple games here that you're not supposed to, then he gets rushed back. But we'll see. But hey, you know what? At least we're able to have this conversation. Did you think we were going to have it 3 weeks ago?
Did not.
I did not either. So,
certainly,
I'm glad to see it. I'm glad that they're in the hunt here, and if they can, they've got to keep playing like this on defense, and you know, hopefully, the offense can just get by.
Colts have a a similar level of difficulty with their schedule.
Maybe I thought theirs was much easier.
Maybe it's a little easier. I shouldn't say that because I'm at Steelers. I think at Steelers and at Buffalo is pretty similar, right?
Probably, although I think the Steelers are a tougher matchup for the Colts than the Bills are for the Texans. But I don't expect either one of those teams to win either game.
Both have Jaguars. They both have Jaguars, Texans, Titans.
Right.
Or in the Texans' case, Jaguars, Colts, Titans. Instead of the Saints, the Colts have the Bucs at home next week, which
is probably about very similar.
Bucs look good this week, but I mean.
Yeah, but there's one big difference in that other game. That it's either the Patriots or the Dolphins.
Patriots, Dolphins is the big difference.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and listen, there's just like the Texans. I don't know that there's anybody on this schedule that you can definitively say the Colts are better than, because the Colts have been a roller coaster just like the Texans have. But, you know, the Colts have, for the most part, with the exception of that Saints game, they've lost to good teams. And the only good team, and even the Steelers might be borderline good, that's the only good team left on their schedule.
Yeah, I think the Steelers are better than you do, mainly because it's just been so inconsistent with Roethlisberger out. And, you know, he's been, when he has been healthy, they've put up the same yards they always do. It's just he's been, you know.
He's been in and out of the games.
Yeah, and that's not something that you see a lot out of Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, he's missed games in the past, but this year it's been, you know, okay, he's back for a game, and then he's hurt again, and then he comes in when he wasn't supposed to play, when Landry Jones gets hurt. So. Yeah. I think that if he's healthy, that's a team that really should beat the Colts in Pittsburgh and should do it fairly handily. But you don't know. I mean, the way these things are playing out, we're getting to that part of the year where some teams are wearing down and some teams are starting to get exposed. The things that were working earlier in the season quit working and they haven't adjusted.
Right.
And I think that's kind of what you're seeing out of a team like the Falcons, who, by the way, continue to turn the ball over at the most inopportune times in the worst situations. But we'll get to that. 5 o'clock, we'll go through the entire league. We'll get to some college football at some point.
Crazy weekend in college.
Yeah, yeah. So if you want to get in, you know what? How about next segment's a good time for you? 713-780-ESPN. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And I'm going to tell you about attorney Gary Trichter. Guys, you know, the season's coming around where you're going to be going to holiday parties and things like that. You need to be responsible at these things. And if you're throwing the parties, you need to help your guests be responsible. And make sure if you're throwing one of these parties, you do it on a Friday or Saturday so the guys have a chance to sleep in. And it's not like a rush to get home and pay for the cab if you need to. Do whatever you can to help your employees stay safe. Make sure you serve food if you've got – in fact, you should serve food before the bar opens up just so it can absorb some of that alcohol. And when you're out there on the road, be safe. Watch for other drunk drivers and make sure that you're not one of them, you know. And you're within your rights to have a couple drinks. That's not a problem. You're allowed to go to a Christmas party, have a good time, and drive home. But if you find yourself in need of Gary Trichter's services – over this holiday season, you need to give him a call here in Houston. He's a DWI specialist. What that means is he's experienced in telling the truth about these tests. He's one of only 4 board-certified DWI specialists in the entire state, and he's right here in Houston. Whether it's DUI, DWI, if you failed one of the tests the police gave you, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now, 713-524-1010, or visit texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for Gary Trichter.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. 2 great sports stations, 2 presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN. We'll grab some phone calls this segment. Hey, kick off your holiday Wednesday at Nick's Place. We're broadcasting live all day, starting with John and Raheel, then Unfiltered, and then, of course, the Blitz is going to close out the day from 2 until 5:30, so early show for us.
We're doing extra work?
Yeah, we're doing an extra 30 minutes. But that's all right. We're at Nick's Place, man. It's one of my favorite places, 2713 Rocky Ridge. I don't even need the read to tell you that it's 2713 Rocky Ridge.
I don't know how I feel about doing extra work, though.
You want to leave 30 minutes early tomorrow?
It's a good idea.
It'll be a couple of days this year during like Tuesdays and Fridays where Texas plays early.
All right.
You think so?
I think there's a next week there's a tip at like 6 or 7, so we'll be out at 6:30. 30 minutes back.
All right.
Okay.
Just make sure I get it back. Write it down.
comp AJ Hoffman.
30 minutes. Yeah.
Here we go.
But anyway, we'll be out there at Nick's. Plus, it's a Toys for Tots drop station. Bring your unwrapped, unopened toys to Nick's place and help us bring joy to all Houston kids this holiday season. Did somebody hear us make fun of Tots because they changed us to kids?
No, I don't think so. Okay.
I don't think they actually listen to us making fun of these things.
No. In your other reads, there's Tots.
Oh, there's still
there.
Tots?
Yeah.
What's wrong with kids?
I don't know.
Okay, just checking.
I think Toys for Tots sounds better than Toys for Kids.
Well, that's the name of the organization, I think, is Toys for Tots. But
it sounds better.
But it's from the 20s when people were tots. I don't know if we go with that anymore. Anyway, let's squeeze in a phone call. Elliot, you are on the Blitz. Go, sir. Elliot, what is up?
Sport.
Sports to you.
Yeah, I was calling in regards to the Ohio State-Michigan State game, and I just wanted to get y'all's opinion on the way the game was coached by way too conservative, and Ezekiel Elliott's comments in regards to the end of the game.
Listen, I agreed with Ezekiel Elliott that they probably should have used him more in the second half. But let's also keep in mind, he wasn't doing anything in the first half.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, who do I trust? Is it Ezekiel Elliott or is it Urban Meyer? I trust Urban Meyer's the, if not the best coach in college football, he's the second best. His resume is second to Nick Saban's. There's nobody else in college football other than Nick Saban with a resume that's better than Urban Meyer's. So I'm not going to, after they lose their first game, their second game in his 3 years there?
Yeah.
I'm not going to jump and go, Urban Meyer doesn't know how to coach a football game. I'm going to go ahead and give him the benefit of the doubt and say that there's a reason behind it or something. And Cardale Jones, I don't even care what Cardale Jones had to say because Cardale Jones is a backup quarterback. So that's your last game as a backup quarterback at Ohio State. We'll miss you, Cardale. You probably should have left to the NFL last year when you had some value to your name. I tend to give Urban Meyer the benefit of the doubt. I don't think Urban Meyer wanted to lose that game. But I
will say this, as great a coach as Urban Meyer is, as great a coach as Nick Saban is, there are games where their staff gets out-coached.
And Mark D'Antonio is a pretty good coach, too.
Yeah, and it's not very often. It's pretty rare when you see it, but it does happen.
But
and
I'll tell you this.
I do think the way they called that game, they were doing the play not to lose bit, and that will get you beat.
I will say this, though. If you want more carries, start averaging more than 3 yards per carry. All right? It's not like James Harden where you can just chuck him up till something sticks.
Don't get started on that.
You've got to start earning it. You got to start earning those carries and prove that you can run against that defense. And Zeke Elliott's had a really good year. I think he's a good player. He was not having a good day. He was not seeing holes.
Not an easy defense to be playing against. I mean, that's been Michigan State. Yeah, that's what they're about is play really good defense, take the run away, and put pressure on you. And you know what? That was Ohio State's been playing with fire all year, and it finally caught up with them.
Yep.
They haven't been as explosive on offense. And whether it's just, okay, we won a national championship last year, so maybe it's guys think it's going to come easy. Maybe they miss Tom Herman calling plays. I don't know. But offensively, they haven't been as good. And they've had a lot of games where they let teams hang around. And Michigan State, that's what they do. They hang around, and then they're going to find a way to beat you.
They win ugly games.
Yes, and whether it's a punter screwing up or whatever reason, they find a way to do it. And I don't think it's, it's one of those, whenever it's such a huge deal when you lose that people have to find every little reason for it, you've built an incredible program.
And here's what I'll say also, as far as Ezekiel Elliott goes, what he did after the game is a bad look.
Yeah, it is.
Pointing the finger at other people. You want to go to the NFL? You think NFL GMs are super pumped to get a guy who's going to throw his team under the bus, the first sign of adversity, throw his coaches under the bus? Nah, nobody's looking for that. Zeke Elliott's a good player, but you're a running back, which, I hate to break it to you, it's going to be a rare thing for you to go high in the first round or wherever you think you're going. I don't know where you think you're going to go, but this is it's not a good look, man, to go out there and the first game you lose, the coaches called a bad game. It's all on them. It doesn't make sense to me.
No, I think they went in with a game plan that wasn't working, and part of that was Elliott wasn't running the ball that well.
Yep.
They tried to adjust, but Michigan State did a pretty good job against them and had a great scheme that worked. And like I said, it played right into their hands at the end. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's try Chris. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing today?
We're doing sports, man.
Sports, you too. I still think that actually Cardale Jones still has value to him. I still think he can be a second round, if not third round draft pick. Because remember, Matt Castle, he was a backup at USC, and he was basically a backup his whole career, and he got drafted by the Patriots. And he didn't do a resume even compared to what Cardale Jones. I know he's been a backup for a year, but I still think that he still has value behind his name just off of those four games he played last year.
Matt Castle had a good year in New England because he got drafted by the right team. And I'm not saying that Cardale Jones doesn't have any draft stock. Cardale Jones would have been a first-round pick last year. He's not going to be a first-round pick this year. I don't see it. I'm not saying he doesn't have any value anymore, but it's definitely lower than it was a year ago. And when he's been on the field this year, he's not looked good.
No, he hasn't, but, you know, I don't know how much of it is. It's hard to stay at that level for that long when you look at how good that team was at the end of last season. They had games like this early in the year, and they got better as they went on. This year, they really never did.
Yeah.
They never really started taking off like they did at the end of last year. Now, having said that, I don't think they're done. It's not likely now at this point they're going to be up against it a little, but
I think they're done.
We've already seen weird stuff happen.
It would take a lot, in my opinion.
Well, it would take a lot, but I still think there's a lot to happen. And yeah. I don't think it involves Clemson or Alabama. I think those two you can pretty much pencil in right now. But if Iowa winds up losing in the Big Ten championship game, they're not getting in. Notre Dame loses to Stanford, they're not getting in.
Oklahoma loses
to Okie State. I'm not sure a one-loss Okie State jumps Ohio State. So I don't think they're dead. It's not likely, but I don't think they're dead. I think at this point it's a little more open than it was last week just because of some of the results.
CBS currently has Cardale Jones as a second to third round prospect. He is the sixth ranked quarterback on their board. So he would have gone higher than that last year.
Yeah. And somebody would have made a mistake because you did was have, four games or three games of a body of work.
And you could say his resume, was his resume more impressive than Matt Castle's? Yes, because he actually got on the field. But at the end of the day, that dude's got like 5-6 games of college experience. And the first few looked great. The last couple, not as much. I think he's going to be in the NFL. I just don't know that he's going to be what everyone thought he would be.
Well, I mean, it's always with a kid like that, it's always, look what he did in these games. Won the national championship. But you didn't get to see all the warts. You didn't get to see defenses react to him and figure out what he was doing and try to stop that. And then how he reacted to that. And that's how you see some of these kids develop, but not in his case.
All right, guys. Hope you guys are doing all right in your fantasy football leagues. I had a big win this week, Fred. A must-win situation. I got the win. And I credit some of it to Sports Manias, man. It's a new app. It helps you dominate your league. You go to the app store. The app is free. Search for Sports Manias, one word. It's going to give you a leg up on your competition. Really easy to use. You just import your fantasy team from Yahoo, CBS, or ESPN. You get personalized feeds from fantasy football experts around the country, including breaking news, scoring opportunities, fantasy points, milestones. They'll even send you an update when your guys are in the red zone. Real-time updates on your players and just your players, so you don't have to sift through everybody else's stuff. And it's going to help you make smarter lineup decisions. I've been using this thing all year long because I've got teams on all these different formats, and it helps me kind of streamline all my information. It's a brand-new fantasy tool. Gives you an edge on the rest of your league. If you're not using it, you should be. Get on your cell or tablet, go to the App Store, download Sports Manias for free right now. That's one word, Sports Manias.